displayed excellence. In my reading, I came across one time one practical working definition. Really, I think it means the same thing as displayed excellence, if you think about it. But one person put it this way. Excuse me. One person said, it's that which makes a person look good. I like that. We beheld His glory. We saw what made Him look good, right? What is the glory of a woman? Her hair, biblically speaking, right? It makes her look good. Now, this is an undeniable fact, right? I mean, it's just a simple fact. If a young guy walks into a family reunion with a beautiful girl, what do his uncles do? Hey, good job, right? It makes him look good, right? You must be doing something right. You know what I mean? It makes him look good. The glory of a man is the woman. The glory of a woman is her hair. The glory of a young man is his strength. I know it's pitiful, but the Bible says it. Once upon a time, there was a little bit of glory there, and there isn't that much anymore. But the glory of an older man is his silver hair, the wisdom that he's gained. These things are that which make a person look good. The Lord Jesus became flesh. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld that which made Him look good. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. And this is what I really want to zero in on here. Verse number 14, the last phrase, full of grace and truth. Praise the Lord. We have a Savior that is full of grace and truth. You know what that word full means? It means containing as much or as many as is possible. Isn't that good? Have you ever been full? Containing as much or as many as is possible? When Lynn and I were a young married couple, we went out to a place in Dubuque, Iowa called Ground Round. I don't know if you've ever heard of such a thing. And we sat down, and I like appetizers. And so we said, no, an appetizer sounds great. And so I said, boy, this one looks good. And she said, no, that one looks good. And so we ordered both, right? And then we had salads with our meals. We each ordered a meal. And then at the end of all of this, we said, you know what sounds great? Dessert, right? And so we each ordered dessert. And I remember the physical pain of trying to stand at the end of the meal as we rolled to our vehicles, right? I mean, we were full. My wife probably does not want me to tell such stories. But we were full. We were stuffed full. The Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. Not two competing things. Full of grace and truth in beautiful harmony. Right? You realize the simple implication of that is that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you could not possibly have done better. Right? The simple truth is that He could not possibly be more gracious than He is. You couldn't have a Savior that's more gracious than the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm thankful for that. Full of grace. Full of truth. You know, we mentioned this yesterday. The Lord Jesus is the living Word of God. This is the written Word of God. He's full of truth. He says, I am the way. In essence, I am the truth. It's who He is. So to honor Him is to honor this book. The Scripture says that I have exalted my Word above my name. Holy and reverend is my name, the Lord says. And then I have exalted my Word above my name. Now, we mentioned this yesterday, and this isn't what we're going to spend our time talking about. But there are tremendous assaults on the truth today, aren't there? There are. Have you ever heard of a book called The Shack? Anybody ever read that? You don't have to shake your hands or anything. I've read it. I didn't want to read it. I didn't want to buy it. There's so many things I want to read that I want to buy. But I would go to youth conferences. I would go to camps and I would see this book everywhere. And I kept hearing about it, different evaluations. If you know the name David Dunlop, he has a newsletter that's called something like Bible and Life, I believe. He's based out of Tampa, Florida. His last newsletter was dedicated, and he very fairly and I thought wonderfully evaluates this book called The Shack. You know, I read The Shack. We had a week where we went, Lynn and I and another couple, we went away and we just had this time recently, and I decided, okay, I'm going to try to read this book while we're gone. And I read it. At the end of it, I wanted to know my Savior better. I thought that was interesting. I wanted to have a more intimate relationship with the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and with the Lord Jesus Himself. I'm thankful for that. So coupled with a compelling story that's in this novel, The Shack, coupled with these good things, it introduces all kinds of heresy. It's all through it. Page 31 says that God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the same as the Great Spirit that the Indians worshipped. You know, that God is great and God is spirit, so this must be the same thing. Now, you could argue and say, well, no, maybe he just thought that, but it's not actually true. Well, the book never corrects it. The book repeatedly refers to the scars on the Father's wrists. And it says, when we became human. That's a heresy. The Father, the Spirit, and the Son became human. That's a heresy. Jesus Christ took on flesh. Not the Father, not the Spirit. It subtly introduces these heresies. That the Spirit was a created being. I forget the page number. I can't always keep these things in my head. But that the Spirit was a created being. The force of God. And it came into existence at some point. That's a heresy. So coupled with a compelling story. Coupled with a story that makes you long for a deeper relationship with the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, are these subtle errors that are coming in, that are being introduced. Now, again, my purpose isn't to talk about the shack, right? But these things are having great impacts in our society. Every youth conference that I go to, there are young people that are reading these books, that are being greatly influenced by these books. Jesus Christ was full of truth. He is the truth. To honor Him is to honor this. Now, beautifully coupled with that is that Jesus Christ was full of grace. Right? And these are not things that are polarized. They're not pulling on one another. They're in beautiful harmony with one another. Being very God, being the truth, He is grace. He embodies grace. And so He could not possibly contain more grace than He does. Boy, I'm thankful for that. The grace of God. There's a verse in Luke, if you would turn there, Luke chapter 4. This is, actually, I think this is a, it just gives such a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I got a little bit ahead of myself. If you like sermon titles, you could title this Jesus Christ the Gracious. We're just going to look at the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures and look at His goodness to us. So Jesus Christ the Gracious. Point number one is Jesus Christ was, is, and ever will be gracious. Praise the Lord. Point number one, Jesus Christ was, is, and ever will be gracious. You might jot down John 1:14. He's full of grace and truth. Now, Luke chapter 4, verse number 22 says this. So all bore witness to Him, that's to the Lord Jesus, and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? So they beheld the Lord Jesus Christ. They listened to the Lord Jesus Christ. And listening to this Jewish man, and I say that very reverently, as people would have beheld him, right? Listening to this in their minds, this Jewish teacher, this Jewish man, what were they caused to do based on what they heard and what they saw? They stood in awe. They marveled at the gracious words that came out of His mouth. He was gracious. He was full of grace. As a follower of the Lord Jesus, are you enough like Christ that people marvel at your grace? I don't think I am. It's not a joyful thing to confess. But I need to grow in grace. I need to grow in truth, too. I need to be more like Christ than what I am. There needs to be far more of Christ and far less of me. Marveled. They stood in awe of His grace. Do you stand in awe of things? I mean, totally apart from biblical things. Do you stand in... I do, right? Stand in awe. Remember the name... Oh, what was his name? The Jamaican that won the 100-meter dash in the Olympics. Bolt. There you go. What an appropriate name. I saw maybe 1 hour worth of the Olympics the whole time that it was on. But I happened to see the 100-meter final. You've got the biggest stage in the world. And you've got this young guy, Bolt, from Jamaica. And he's breezing through preliminary rounds, he lets up at times with 20 or 30 yards to go on the world's biggest stage. He gets to the Olympic 100-meter final, the competition for the fastest man in the world, and he runs his race. He's so utterly dominant that he lets up with 10 yards or 15 yards to go. He beats his chest and runs across the finish line with his arms spread. Now, I didn't marvel at his humility, right? But I marveled at his athletic ability. I stood in awe that anybody could be that dominant. You know, never in recorded human history has there ever been a man that could run that fast. Never. And be that dominant. He utterly blew away the world's best competition. Now, I know that's just running, right? These things are of so much greater value. And yet I still stand in awe of those things. Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. I used to love watching. I was a complete 100% bandwagon fan. Never cared about the Bulls until Michael Jordan was just dominant with the Bulls. And then I stood in awe of what they could do. Well, when people saw the Lord Jesus, amongst other things, they stood in complete wonderment, in awe, in amazement. They marveled at his gracious words. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 5, verse number 10, says, you don't have to go there, but it says, the God of all grace. This is so much a characteristic of our God that the Scripture is just riddled with it. It was so much a characteristic of the Lord Jesus' ministry that it's all through His ministry. Grace, grace, grace. What is the grace of God? One person, of course, has said it as an acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's helpful. That's good. Another person defines it this way, unmerited favor. Are you a recipient of God's grace today? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Me too. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't have anything good apart from that. Did you pay the Lord something for that? I remember as a young man, really young man, wrestling with this. And I remember at one point having spiritual pride that I had chosen Christ. There were other people that wouldn't choose Christ, but I had chosen Christ. And I remember realizing that even that, there's no merit in it. He wooed me. He loved me. I was a sinner who loved to sin, going my own direction. 1 Corinthians 12 says, none of you can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit had not ministered to us, if He had not been gracious to us, none of us would be believers. My wife and I had the privilege of being in Ottawa, Canada a number of months ago, and amongst many other things, one thing we did was go to a restaurant, and I had a little piece of meat called a filet mignon. Have you ever had one of those? Oh, it was good. Hickory, apple smoked bacon wrapped filet mignon. Oh, it was good. Right? I didn't pay a penny for it. Not one penny. I wasn't allowed to leave the tip. I wasn't allowed to pay for parking, pay the toll. I couldn't pay for the meal. No, I didn't have anything to do with it, but I enjoyed the benefits of it. I didn't bring anything of value to the Lord in trade for my salvation. It's just grace. Unmerited favor. He loved us, so He gave Himself for us. He bought us back. He paid for us. No wonder they marveled at His gracious words. So, point of application. Are you a gracious person? Do you desire to be like Christ? Are there groups of the Lord's people that are really honoring Him in the truth, but that are utterly failing when it comes to grace? We can get out of balance, can't we? It's very possible to get out of balance. Truth apart from grace is really not honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, is it? Remember the woman at the well? I must needs go through Samaria. I love those little phrases, right? I must needs go through Samaria. How come? There's a woman at a well that desperately needs to be saved. In fact, I'm going to use her to reach this whole community, right? I must needs go through Samaria. He speaks to the woman at the well. She responded like any Samaritan woman would respond. Are you talking to me? Lord Jesus says, in essence, if you only knew who it was that was talking to you, you'd ask me and I would give to you living water. What's He preaching? Of course it's a gospel. What angle is he coming at it? He's preaching satisfaction. You're not satisfied. Have you ever met anybody like that? You've had five husbands, and the person you're living with now is not your husband, the Lord Jesus says. She's not satisfied. The world had not been kind to her. And the Lord Jesus loves this woman, and he brings this woman grace. A Jewish man. She was shocked. What's a Jewish man talking to me for? Any Samaritan woman would have responded that way. This was not normal. The Lord Jesus was completely different than the Jewish men of his day. He's full of grace. He longed to dispense grace, unmerited favor. Are you a gracious person? Just put it this way. When I say that's a gracious person, there are a few people that instantly come to my mind. Is that true for you too? Some people, you think, oh, that's a gracious person, right? And if you ever stumble or bumble or fall or you need mercy or whatever, you gravitate towards those people, don't you? No. Because they're gracious, merciful. Praise the Lord. I was invited once to an event, and it was a little bit of an honor. It was my college years. I was the only student that was invited, and I went out, and here are all these, in my mind, adults, right? And I'm just a college kid. And they're all filled in this house. And I come in and the host is nowhere to be found. So I asked the host's wife, where is Mr. So-and-so? And she said, he's watering the flowers. Now, why he was watering the flowers, I don't know. But he was. And so I went outside and I found him. And there he was, watering his flowers. He was just trying to finish up before he came in to host this get-together. So I walk up and I stand beside him. And I notice he kind of looked at me funny. And I just kind of looked at him. I didn't really know why. He looked at me funny, but we were sitting there talking, and then just a few seconds went by, and he reached over and he grabbed my arm like this, and he squeezed just kind of gently, and he just slowly pulled me back. Well, as I stepped back, I looked down, and beneath my feet, crushed, were some of the flowers that he had been trying to water. And he looked at me, and he said this. He said, it's okay. People are more important than flowers, but we try to save the flowers when we can. He's just gracious. I destroyed his beautiful little creation, and he was gracious. That same gentleman was sitting in Breaking of Bread one time. He was the speaker for the day. He's got a tie, white dress shirt on. And a young man who's completely terrified was passing the cups. Now, I'm sympathetic with this. I remember thinking in college, I want to pray for the cup. I want to pray for the cup. I want to pray for the cup. And my heart would go ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And my hands would shake. Well, this young guy is passing the cups and his hands are shaking. You can see him. And so he takes the tray of cups and he's passing them and he hands them to this gentleman, right? And as he pulls his hand away, his finger caught the bottom side of the tray of cups and it flipped the tray of cups all over this gentleman's white shirt. And he looks up without any hesitation at all, and he says, washed in the blood. He's just gracious. Gracious. To live together in harmony in a local assembly, we need to be like Christ, don't we? To live together in a local assembly and honor Him, we need to hold to the truth. To live together in a local assembly and honor Him, we need to be full of grace, full of love. I have needed the grace of God. I feel it so many times, and you'll understand what I mean, that I need to be saved just as badly today as I ever did. I just so desperately need grace from my wife, from my kids, from my local assembly. And I'm so thankful that it's there because of Christ. The Lord Jesus so admirably was, is, and ever will be gracious. In fact, the scripture says grace was upon Christ. He spoke with grace. He was full of grace. He came through grace and he was given by grace. It was an overwhelming theme of his ministry. And they marveled at his gracious words. Point number two, has the Lord been good to you? I just hope that this is encouraging. Jeremy stole my point number two. Thank you very much, Jeremy. But I would just very briefly like to look at Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. Just by way of quick reminder, Jeremy really did a good job of highlighting these things for us. Ephesians chapter 1, Verse number 3, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Praise the Lord. He's been overwhelmingly good to us. Adoption. According to Galatians chapter 4, the idea of adoption there is rather than being treated like a little child in the family, you're treated as an heir in the family, as an adult member of the family with full standing and with full privileges and rights in the family. It's like the prodigal son. When he came back, what was he given? Amongst other things, a ring, right? The family ring. This man is a member of the family, not a slave, member of the family. He can make decisions with this ring. He can represent the family with this ring. It's the grace of God. Every spiritual blessing. Adoption. Verse number 6, acceptance in the beloved. Have you ever not been accepted? Ever been the last one picked at dodgeball? Right? Ever felt that pain of not being accepted? Well, the Lord accepts us. Accepted in the beloved. When I was 15 years old, Washburn Rural High School, I made a conscious decision. I wouldn't have thought nearly so clearly about it, but I made a conscious decision to say less about the Lord Jesus. Why did I do that? Because if you talked about the Lord Jesus, it got you made fun of. And I was tired of being made fun of. I really wanted to fit in with the football players. And I didn't want to be mocked. I'd gotten mocked in 7th grade, 8th grade, went into my freshman year, and I was just tired of it. So I thought, I'm not going to say so much. I'm not going to stand quite so strong. I didn't go out looking for every kind of sin that I could get into, but I was ashamed of a Savior that's never been ashamed of me. I think that's a big deal. And it makes me thankful for verse number 7, redemption, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The Lord Jesus will never bring that up. When I see Him in eternity, He'll never bring my sin up. Is that a blessing? I don't have to stand before a holy God and give an account of my sin. Now, I get the wonderful privilege of standing before a holy God, standing specifically before the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ, at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ, and giving an account of my service. But I don't have to stand there and talk to Him about my sin. How come? Because the Lord Jesus stood before a holy God and gave an account for my sin. He's won for us so many things. Verse 8, wisdom. Verse 11, inheritance. Inheritance. There is such a thing as reward, right? Praise the Lord. Run the race as if to win the prize. That's a wonderful teaching of Scripture. But it's different than inheritance. We get inheritance because we're part of the family. Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, is due all the inheritance of heaven. And if you're in Christ, then you're a co-heir with Christ. You're ushered into all of the blessings and the benefits of heaven for all of eternity. Does it make a practical difference in your life that God is rich? It does in mine. What a joy to have a rich Heavenly Father. I enjoy being rich. I think being rich is wonderful. Empty cupboards, but rich, right? Eating the best food that money can buy. Our neighbors, when we went full time, and they said, well, who's going to pay you? And we tried to explain it. You know, we're just depending on the Lord. And they said, oh, you can eat with us. And they meant it. They meant it as an act of love and grace. If it comes down to that, you're welcome to come over here and you can eat with us. And every night I'm out there at this point in life. Remember the little bag of steaks? Every night I'm out there grilling steak on the grill, night after night after night. And the cupboards are almost completely empty and we're eating the best food. Inheritance, rich Heavenly Father. Verse 13, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 1, life. Chapter 2, verse 8, grace. Chapter 2, verse 19, citizenship. It just goes on and on and on and on and on. In fact, all of Ephesians, you've got three chapters of the blessing of God, and then you have three chapters of how should we walk in light of the blessing of God. The Lord has been overwhelmingly good to us. And in fact, I just stand in awe of what the Lord does. His overwhelming grace. You know, not only does He provide for our ministry, quote unquote, but He provides for so much more than that. It's amazing. Our 10-year anniversary was a couple of years ago. And in February, January, something like that, I started praying. Our anniversary's in August. I started praying, Lord, I would really like to do something. I didn't care what it was. I'd really like to do something just to honor my wife and to bless her and to just celebrate 10 years of marriage. Would you make that possible? And that's all I ever did was just pray. We ended up with a place to stay in the Bahamas. We flew from Kansas City to the Bahamas for just over $200 per ticket to another country. Just over $200 per ticket. The Lord gave us specifically, people would come up and say, hey, I heard you going on an anniversary trip. This is for your trip. And the Lord gave us gifts specifically for the trip. Not only does He say, okay, I'm going to support you to do my work. He says, I'm going to support you so that you can take your wife to the Bahamas. I'm so thankful for that. I mean, the grace of God, it just doesn't quit, right? There's no end to it. When sin increases, what does grace do? It increases all the more. It hyper increases, mega increases, super abounds. A God of grace. The woman at the well, Zacchaeus, couldn't see the Lord Jesus for the crowd, went ahead of the crowd, climbs up in the tree. The Lord Jesus picks the guy out of the crowd. He was called a chief tax collector, right? Only time in Scripture that that term is used. Chief tax collector. He was rich. He'd gotten rich off being a traitor of his own people. That's how everybody would have looked at him. The Lord Jesus picks it out and says, I'm coming to your house. That's grace, isn't it? Luke chapter 7, the sinful woman, publicly known sinful woman, comes and weeps on the feet of the Lord Jesus. He's got a fairly prominent, well-known, probably well-respected person here, Simon the Pharisee. And he's got this woman, publicly known as a sinful woman. And over the course of the conversation, he exalts this woman that's weeping at his feet, and he humbles this man. The grace of God. So consistent, the grace of God. Point number three in the outline. We won't take much time here, but grace, if we were to just look up the word grace and look how it's described in the Scriptures, it says this. Grace is great. Grace is rich. Grace is exceeding. Grace is manifold. That's the idea of being multicolored and beautiful like a rainbow. It comes at you in so many different colors and directions, you don't know the extent of it. God is so gracious. The Lord Jesus is so gracious. We haven't yet learned all of the beauty of His grace towards us. That's the idea. It's all sufficient. It's all abundant. It's glorious. This is God's grace. Now, I would like to take the time. You know the reference. So we don't have to turn there. But I want to take the time just to think about one of those. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Excuse me. My grace is sufficient for you. That's a blessing, isn't it? Whatever the Lord asks you to do, His grace will see you through. On one of the hardest days of my wife and my life, hardest days of our life so far, you could say our married life if you wanted to, I got a phone call from a gentleman, and he simply said this. He said, hard time, huh? And I said, yeah, hard time. And he said, the Lord will see you through. And then he called. He had other business to talk about, and we talked about it and talked about what we needed to. And then at the end of the conversation, he said, well, brother, the Lord will see you through. That's all he said. It was incredibly comforting. The grace of God, the love of God. He'll never walk away from us, never leave us. Praise the Lord. You know, I met a girl a year and a couple months ago at a camp, Galilee Bible Camp. My whole family got to go this year. It was such a joy. Her name is Gloria. She was a Roman Catholic girl, been raised Roman Catholic, and an unsaved girl. She had a friend that invited her to camp, and so she came along. She came on Wednesday, and she said, in essence, she had all these questions. None of them were about the gospel. So we sat for a few minutes, and we started looking at different questions and answering different things, And then it became obvious where she was before the Lord. And so, like anybody would, you guide the conversation towards what she really needs, the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we sat there and we talked about it for, I don't know, maybe 2 hours, something like that. We talked about different gospel verses and what the Scripture said and what she believed and had been taught, as opposed to the true gospel that the New Testament teaches and preaches. At the end of it, she said, I think I'd like to go just think about these things. I said, well, praise the Lord. And she went off and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior all by herself. New creation in Christ. Amen. You know, this year she came and she was serving at camp. She was the first one to jump up in quiz time. She's learning her verses. She's a new creation. She's completely different. And she came to us and she said, I'd like to talk to you. And she's got tears in her eyes. Not crying, but you could see the tears in her eyes. And she was doing her best not to cry. And she said, you know, I love my mother and I want to honor my mother. And I want to honor the Lord Jesus too. And every time I bring up this idea of obeying the Scripture and being baptized, my mother is horribly offended. What should I do? She says. Well, what are you supposed to tell somebody in a situation like that? I mean, I kind of thought, man, this is serious. And I thought, you know, I think I know the right answer. But why don't we pray for a day, ask the Lord for wisdom, and then we'll meet tomorrow and we'll talk about it. The three of us will talk about it. Well, we prayed. It ended up being 2 days, but we did sit down and we did talk about it. And in essence, we told her it's better to obey God than man. Humbly, as submissively as you can, you have to obey the Lord Jesus Christ and honor Him. Well, she went home and she didn't even get a chance to talk to her mother. Her mother said, you know, I'm tired of all of this. You have to choose. Either you can keep going to the meetings of that church or you can move out. She kicked her out. Now, I don't know all the details, but we got a message from her, a joyful message on Facebook not long ago. We got this message that and her mother had a change of heart. She came to the baptism. She heard the gospel. She heard Gloria. She saw Gloria take this stand of identifying herself publicly with the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, 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 grace. When you only have a mother, no siblings, only a mother, and you have to choose between the mother and Christ, that's a hard choice, isn't it? And she made the right decision. Praise the Lord. She made the right decision for her mom, too, right? Her mom desperately needs Christ. But what do you need in that situation? Grace, 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 grace. What about the guy that got sick? And then when he's laying sick, his daughter dies. And then when he gets better, he buries his daughter. And then his other daughter comes down with leukemia. What do you need in situations like that? Grace, right? Grace, grace, grace. Well, do you have it? The Lord Jesus is full of grace. Couldn't possibly contain more. No end to the grace of God. I have point number four, five, and six. I'm going to give you point five, and then we're going to close and take our break. How do we get more? This is just a couple little suggestions. How do we get more grace? Number one, commit to serve the Lord. I know there's nothing groundbreaking here, right? But what I love, I just rejoice in this. All through the Scriptures, there's little men that said yes to God, and they were greatly used of God. Little men, little women that said yes to God, and they ended up being greatly used by a great and awesome God. They got more grace because they said yes. Moses was a great man, raised in Pharaoh's household. And then he was turned into a little man that didn't even think he was worthy to go and do such a task. He was convinced, not the first time, to go obey the Lord, and ended up being greatly used of a great and awesome God. So how do we get more grace? Say yes to the Lord. Has the Lord prompted you, prodded you, poked you, stabbed you, perhaps, this weekend? If you say yes to the Lord, you get more and more grace. You know, I meet people across the country that say, you know, it's almost always, it seems, on a college campus, but I meet people that say, I can't be a Christian. And these particular people, they're humble. And I'll say, well, what do you mean? And they'll say, I can't live that way. Well, I can't live that way either. Right? There was one person that was really great at living the Christian life. The Lord Jesus. Boyd Nicholson, maybe you heard him say it. He used to say, the Christian life is not hard to live. It's impossible. The Lord Jesus did it. The rest of us, by His grace, through His power, for His glory, attempted to be like Him and are changed to be like Him. So commit to serve little men that said yes to God. When we humble ourselves, we get more grace. You could jot down James chapter 4, verse number 6, if you want. You elevate yourself, the Lord will humble you. You humble yourself, and He'll give you more grace. It's a beautiful teaching of Scripture. You walk uprightly and you get more grace. Walk uprightly. Psalm 84. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. Now you walk uprightly and you get more grace. You obey and get more grace. Finally, pray. I hope that this is the overwhelming theme of the weekend. At least I pray for a burden amongst the Lord's people to pray. Do you want more grace? Go to the throne of grace. What does the scripture say about the throne of grace? That you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you have needs? Does the assembly have needs? Does Hutchinson have needs? Kansas, the Midwest, the United States of America, North America, the world. Boy, there are needs everywhere. If we thought more like Christ, we'd spend more time crying. The Lord Jesus was a man of tears, wasn't He? Wept over the city of Jerusalem. Longed for people to be saved. So many needs that we need grace for. Well, it says, come to the throne of grace and pray, and you'll get grace to help in time of need. Praise the Lord. I know we're wading in the shallows here. We're just scratching the surface of the beauty of Christ and the graciousness of Christ. But we can all just agree, just to say, praise the Lord, can't we? Thank You for a Savior like that. Let's pray. Father, we do give You thanks today for the Lord Jesus. We give You thanks, Father, for His graciousness towards us. Father, in 1 John, you tell us that You are light. And You also tell us that You're love. Father, if You were only light, then people filled with darkness would never have a part with You. If You're only truth, Father, then we would know the truth about ourselves, but yet we'd be helpless to ever do anything about it, powerless to ever be reconciled to God. Father, even as saved people, if You were not gracious to us, where would we be? If we depended our salvation on holding on to You rather than You holding on to us, where would we be? Father, we just give You thanks for the Lord Jesus. We give You thanks for a Savior that is overwhelmingly gracious. Nobody's ever loved us like Him. Nobody's ever been faithful to us like Him. Nobody's ever been so powerful, so capable, so victorious, and yet so meek, so tender, so able to give us just exactly what we need and not too much so that we're overwhelmed. Father, it just doesn't end, the beauty of Your Son. So we give You thanks that You are a God of all grace, that the Father Himself loves us. And we give You thanks, Father, that the Lord Jesus was full of grace and that the Lord Jesus loves us, gave Himself for us. Help us, Father, to be a more gracious people. Lord, we pray with confidence. We pray with joy today, because when we ask according to Your will, we know that we have it. And our request is this, that You would make us more like the Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to honor Him by standing on the truth. Please make us more like the truth. Father, we want to honor Him by being gracious. Would You take a group of people like us, Lord, and make us, every one of us here that know the Lord Jesus, Father, make us the kind of people that whether we ever know it or not, people would be caused to marvel at the graciousness, because they would see the character and the life of Christ flowing in and out and through us. Father, we pray it for the honor and glory of Your Son. He deserves far more glory than what He's getting right now. And we pray that this month to come, He'll get more glory than He did this month behind. Father, we make our request before You, before a throne of grace. We know that You're perfectly capable of doing these things. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.